everybody's on this side. I know. Amazing. I almost used sunglasses up here, too. But it was great to hear some of you folks share about some of the things that went on yesterday. And, you know, now we're in the laboratory. That's really what life is. It's like a laboratory. You get the information. You then have a chance to try it out, to experiment with it, to, you know, it'd be like, you know, say Rebecca has spent a number of years in school learning a particular type of thing, and now she works in that particular field, which gives her a chance to apply what she's learned, and probably her perspective on it is a little different now than the day she started her job. I imagine every one of us could probably say that. Our expectations of what we thought our job was going to be like have probably dramatically changed, wouldn't you say? See? And a lot of times life with God's Word and in our relationship with God is exactly like that. Life is like a laboratory. You know, I want to talk about something this morning that will be familiar to some of you, and some of you will challenge maybe a little bit. But listen to this statement. I think we've heard this before somewhere recently, and I can't remember where, but the chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. Who said that recently? Did you say that? Okay. That is just a very, very powerful statement, I think. The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. Habit comes as a result of something that we do consciously or unconsciously, and it's called we practice. We practice, we practice, we practice. We practice. Sometimes consciously, and sometimes we're practicing things and putting things into our lives unconsciously sometimes. But what I want to talk about today, very simply, is building a habit of really learning how to forgive. Really learning how to apply love. See, we can talk about love, you know, and get kind of a good sense of, you know, what it really means, but then to really begin to live it and to practice it and to put ourselves, you know what, you won't even have to put yourself in a situation to try it. You'll find yourself in a multitude of situations where you can put into practice what you're learning about. I'm going to have Josh play this beautiful song that I recently heard, and I think it'll speak to us and help us to sort of get a sense of, you know, who we are and where we're going and what potential we really have. So, ready for that, Josh?
Forgiven me. My sin has been washed from his memory by the blood of the Lamb of Calvary. He has forgiven me. Do you know what it's like, God, talk to him with nothing in between? Do you know what it's like when the day comes to an end, to sleep in peace because you have his peace? Do you know when the accuser comes your way, to look him squarely in the eyes and with confidence and say,
remember and just to reflect upon is at this moment the slate has been wiped clean by the work of Jesus Christ, by what God really wants for us and envisions for us. We stand in the very presence of God right this very second with no sense of sin, no sense of guilt, no sense of shame whatsoever. See, we're going to be going to Ephesians chapter 1, but you know, a great man once said, and maybe you've heard this before, I never have a problem forgiving anybody else when I remember what God forgave me for. See? The lack of forgiveness, which really ends up in bitterness in a person's life, is like when you're in that person's presence, it's like scraping your nails against a chalkboard. You know what that feels like and sounds like? It's like, ugh! And if things don't get cleared up with people, then this type of thing develops in your heart. It's called bitterness. You don't even know necessarily what the offense is anymore. You just have this. See? So, a real simple key is that when you get offended, try to get worked out as quickly as possible. So they don't build up over a long period of time. I think Ephesians talks about that, right? Not letting the sun go down upon your wrath. We talked about that. But getting these things worked out See? It's not that hard to say, make the statement. Would you forgive me? You know, we want to follow the example of our Lord. Calvary. Looking at the people who were killing Him and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, that's a pretty high standard. Because how many times do we get our feelings hurt? Do we get offended? Do things get said in our direction that are having a dramatic effect on us somehow? See, how do we process those things? How does that, what does that do in all of our lives in how we begin to really feel about ourselves? See, some of us, we lack the ability to really forgive ourselves because of certain things we see in the mirror. Well, if I wouldn't have done this, if I wouldn't have done that, if I was such and such or so and so, then, and we blame ourselves for what we see. We take the responsibility and to begin to judge. We begin to judge. See. You know, we won't really want to practice the wonderful and beautiful things of the Word. Things like learning how to really love. Learning how to really love. Learning how to really practice. Really, really forgive. See. Reminded of a verse in Ephesians 4:32. Maybe you've heard this before. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven what? You. I never have a problem forgiving others when I remember what God forgave me for. In 2 Corinthians 2:7, Paul says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what that context is? Forgiveness. Because the devil knows that if he can work on a person's life, a Christian's life, and get them to a point where they have this heart of unforgiveness, he just kind of walks away and goes after somebody else. Because it's one of those great tools that the enemy uses against the Christian. To get them suppressed down so that they can't be all they can be for God. Because in a lot of situations, what do you hear them talking about? How hurt they've been. How used they've been. What happened to them that made them the way they are today? If somebody did this to me, somebody did that to me, this and that. You know what? Forgive. And honestly, forget. Does it keep bringing it up over and over and over and over? It's just like opening a wound, right? You know? It's just like opening a wound. Look at Psalm 103. It says, He remembers their sins, what? No more. He tosses their sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. See? Hey, we have all had situations where we have had the opportunity to hold on to things that could easily be set free. That's what forgiveness is. It's setting it free. You know what it really does? It sets you free. And it's real simple. It's real simple. Maybe all it takes is you just going before God, you just getting quiet, and you know what? Just saying, I forgive every person who has ever offended me, whether they're ever aware of it or whatever. Doesn't matter. You know who's the greatest benefactor of that? You are. I am. I don't want a heart full of bitterness. I don't think you do either. Because it stops you from being all that you can be. See? He has forgiven us. He's wiped the slate clean. See? Ephesians chapter 1. And so now we got the great opportunity to go out into the world once we have this knowledge, then just go out and practice it. Does that mean perfection? No, that doesn't mean perfection. But it means you're in the school of life. You're on a journey. See? Even when you take a trip, you go to Europe, you drive your RV to New York or whatever. Does everything go perfectly? Every way, everything the way you just want it to go? No. It doesn't. See? Life doesn't end up being like that either, does it? We have certain expectations of what we'd like to see it play out like. But many times, that's not exactly what's occurring. See? A lot of different things come up in life. Well, here's one that came up. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. These are personalized words to you today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, what? Has, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy, and what's the other one? Without blame. Boy, you know what? You could probably point the finger at yourself a lot and blame yourself for a lot of things. But you know what? Why? God doesn't even do that with you. Why would you want to single yourself out and point the finger at yourself? But remember this whole thing when you say, when I point a finger at someone else, I'm pointing three back at myself? You know what unforgiveness develops in a person? Judgment. You begin to judge and to become critical of others. And that is an all-consuming fire. And God's Word stands in... it's just like, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You've been given all these wonderful, these great things. God's chosen us before the foundation of the world. Yeah, but He hurt me. And by God, I will never forget what He did to me. You ever heard anybody say that? I will never forgive them. Because what they did to me was so hurtful and so harmful. And yet Jesus looks at the people who are crucifying Him and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we think it's beyond our ability to forgive somebody who's hurt us when things haven't gone, quote unquote, our way. Amazing. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He's made us accepted. He hasn't rejected us. Matter of fact, He's accepted us when He could have rejected us. Because there's really nothing in us that would make us acceptable. See? In verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. See? So many great, simple, honorable truths. And I laid down a challenge yesterday to the folks that were here to make a determination, a decision at that point in time. Am I willing to walk in love? Well, if I'm willing and I desire to walk in love, then that means I am also willing to forgive. I am also willing to forgive any offense that has ever been committed that has done something to injure me. And I guess we all have to come to that realization, recognition in our minds. Are we willing to walk in love? Because that will be one of the requirements eventually. You know, to practice something, it's a repeated performance or a systematic exercise for the purpose of acquiring skill. Don't you want to be skilled at being a great lover? Then you got to be a great forgiver too. And my encouragement again is, be quick about it. Don't let it linger. Don't let it sit there for weeks on end. And then by the time you go to the person and try to get it resolved, they said, I didn't even know I did that. Why didn't you come to me then? See? A lot of times the tendency when these things happen is to run to somebody else and to tell them. so-and-so hurt me. So-and-so offended me. And then expecting them to go to that person and work it out on your behalf. Is that really what the Word says? No. But why is there such a human tendency to want to do that? There is, you know. Because I've had many people come to me and say, Trish, just absolutely hurt me so badly. You know, something's got to be done about this. What are you going to do about it, Barney? Like, well, what am I going to do about it exactly? Because you know, it kind of puts me in an interesting place. But you know what the guideline of the Word is in Matthew chapter 18? It's fascinating. Let's look at it. Interesting, verse 21. You remember this one? Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? So seven times." And Jesus said, "No, not exactly. How about 70 times 7? See, it's amazing. The heart of how frequently and how often we can not only be the ones to do the forgiving, but how also we need to be forgiven for things we're doing. We're not exactly walking like perfectly all the time. We're saying and doing and living our lives. How about verse 15? Let's talk about this. The practical application of getting something worked out and walking in love with forgiveness. It says, "Moreover, if thy brethren shall trespass against thee," here's the big key. Go and talk to them. Go and tell him his fault between whom? Thee and him what? Alone. That's taking responsibility. That's taking accountability. Because if you don't, you will begin to criticize and you will begin to judge that person. And if this becomes a habit in your life, you will become a very critical and a very judgmental person, because actually you're not doing what the Word says. It's easy to call me Barney, blah, 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 blah. You know, Trish, she's just blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, have you had a conversation with Trish about it? Well, no, I'm not going to talk to her. I mean, she... Blah, blah. Okay. See, the Word really is very simple in what its instruction is in giving to us practical instruction to walk out on to live love. It's not something that God is trying to hide from us, and it's this, mystery, and how do we do it? And, you know, it's hit and miss, and it's like, hey, if Dan offends me, whether he knows it or not, you know what I do? I go to Dan, he and I talk, we work it out according to the Word. And then if it can't get resolved, then there's other steps that can be taken. You know what? I don't want to be critical of his life. I don't want to be judgmental of his life. See? This is what we're talking about with practicing the Word. Life is a laboratory. If you think you're going to go through your life, or I'm going to go through my life and never be offended by anyone ever the rest of my life, I am totally deceived. Because things are going to happen. Emotions are very powerful in people's lives. Things get said all the time that are having an effect on you. See? And depending on what type of person you are, you either strike out or you bury them. See? I'm more of a barrier. Maybe you're more of a striker. I don't know. Either way, see, those things still have to get dealt with, because 2 Corinthians says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I don't want a bitter attitude. I don't want a judgmental attitude. I don't want a critical attitude. I want a loving, positive, encouraging, exhorting, comforting attitude of heart. Ephesians chapter 3. So awesome, really, the word. And God is so great because God just forgives, flat out, forgives. It's not like you have to beg and plead and get down on your knees and do 100 push-ups, you know, Marine style, or, you know, go through a bunch of things and, you know. Truth is, God loves you just the way you are right this second. With all your whatever it is that you think is sometimes so God-awful horrible. God loves you right now, right this second, with everything that you have and everything that you've been and everything that you've done. Jesus Christ paid the price for our perfect and complete wholeness. God's not holding that to your account. The real kicker is, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Ephesians 3:14. Mm-hmm. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth, in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? Love. See? But love is just not a doctrine. Love is just not something you know about. Love is something you want to live. You want it to become living epistles, not just knowledgeable epistles. See, you want to be able to incorporate this and become a manifestation of the love of God in the renewed mind. See, it's more than just knowledge. That we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. How can a Christian in a relationship with a loving God not exercise forgiveness and still think everything's hunky-dory and all is fine and well? To me, that would seem like a bit of a deception. Oh, we can play the game. See? We're not talking about playing a game. We're talking about living our lives openly and honestly before God. See? And that's where sometimes it takes some real soul searching. You know? It's not like you're going to have to go back and remember every whatever. You know? Kind of like if the shoe fits, wear it. You know? I mean, you know what I'm talking about here. Things go on in people's lives. We get these things that happen. I've got things. You got things. How do I deal with them? See? How does it affect me? See? Because if I don't get it worked out with Trish, guess what? It's affecting my relationship with her. I'm thinking about it when I see her. I'm thinking about it all the time. And pretty soon it starts to affect me even to want to be with her. Because I don't want to be with her. Because she's hurt me. And until I get it resolved, there's a wall in our relationship. Something. Oh, boy. Something, huh? Well, let's look at how about Matthew chapter 7. I think you guys will enjoy this. So, practice, 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 practice. Huh? See? That's what life is. It's practice. You don't become like the world's greatest free throw shooter because you never practiced. You know, talk to Mike. He's played basketball for many, 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 many years. The guys who really excel are the ones who practice the most. See? We just have to practice. That's it. Make it a habit. See? Oh, my gosh. What did I say? Matthew chapter 7. Al, over here. You have a Bible here? Matthew, come on up here and read that, would you? King James. Matthew 7, 1 through 3.
Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye?
Right on. I want to quote a couple of things from a book written by a beloved sister in Christ, Joyce Myers, called 8 Ways to Keep the Devil Under Your Feet. That sounds like a good thing for every Christian to want to do. Yeah! You want to keep the devil under your feet. You don't want to give him free rein, right? She quotes this verse from the Amplified, and I'll read it from there. Do not judge and criticize and condemn others so that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourselves. For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you will be judged and criticized and condemned in accordance with the measure that you use to deal out to others. It will be dealt out to you again. Why do you stare from without at the very small particle that is in your brother's eye? But not to become aware and consider the beam of timber that is in your own. Judging people is a fruit of not loving people. We need to major in the things that are major to God, and love is a major thing to God. One translation of Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 says, why are you trying to get the toothpick out of your brother's eye when you have a telephone pole in your own? It goes on to say, how can you say to your brother, let me get the tiny particle out of your eye when there's a beam of timber in your own eye? You hypocrite, Jesus says. First get the beam of timber out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the tiny particle out of your brother's eye. How tricky this becomes, and how easy it becomes to point out every failure and fault in someone else's life. You know what it does? It keeps the focus off of us. And almost makes us feel better that, hey, we're not perfect, and neither are they, by God. So blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. What's Jesus saying here? I believe he is saying, now get this loud and clear, you need to be concerned about what's going on with you and not what's wrong with everybody else. Let them be concerned about what's wrong with them. It's not your job to be the judge and jury about what is going on in every other Christian person's life in the fellowship. You got one major responsibility, and so do I. Take care of yourself. Isn't that nice? I can read this. She said it. Huh? It's so true, though. Look at the title of this book, 8 Ways to Keep the Devil Under Your Feet. Keep your nose out of other people's business. It's not yours. But how easy it is to slip into that, and pretty soon all you do is converse about other people. Who's doing what? And how's this happening? That was true when Jesus first said it, and it's still true for us today. It is good advice to follow, especially since the fruit of judging people is an open door to Satan. And she quotes Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Follows right along there. Do not give that which is holy, the sacred thing, to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before hogs, lest they trample upon them with their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. I have written in my Bible next to the scripture that I believe that holy sacred thing we have to give is love. Now read between the lines. What is Jesus saying to us in this verse? Well, consider that he may be saying when you judge people instead of loving them, the devil is going to have an open door in your life. I believe that by judging and criticizing people, we open the door to Satan by casting the holy thing, which is love, before dogs and before devil spirits. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, we saw the results. The dogs and hogs will turn around and attack us and tear us to pieces. Words. How powerful are they? I wonder, how much trouble we have in our lives because we open the door to the enemy through judging other people. I don't think they should be driving that kind of car. I don't think they should be doing this. I don't think they should be doing that. I don't. She's so funny. She's so cool. May I share a piece of wisdom with you in this area? Anywhere you don't have responsibility, don't bother to have an opinion. Because opinions, they come and go, and everybody has one. And if I asked everybody in this room a certain question about a certain thing, you might all come up with a different one. And pretty soon, you know what? You're criticizing other people because of their opinion. The nature of this stuff sometimes. The enemy's not, he knows the nature of people. Loves to get a little gossip going, you know. Blah, 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 blah. You hear this? Blah. Woo, wildfire. See? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Some great things for us to practice. Not being judgmental, not being critical, keeping our minds in our own stuff, getting our own act together with God. See? Maybe you've seen this, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. It says that you study to be quiet and to do your who business? Your own business. And to work with what? Your own hands, as we commanded you. Be diligent about doing what you need to be doing. Amplified says, make it your ambition and definitely endeavor to live quietly and peacefully, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we charged you. This verse is a great scriptural instruction to mind our own business. For example, you don't have to worry about what I wear because you don't buy my clothes. Neither do I have to worry about what you wear because I don't buy your clothes. In other words, judge not. Instead, show mercy. Because mercy triumphs over judgment, according to James. We don't think enough about the right things. We think too much about the wrong things. We like to get into other people's business. Yet the Bible clearly tells us to mind our own business and stay busy with our own hands if we want to have a good life. You think this makes sense as a believer, as a Christian? Sure it does, because it's so easy to get into criticizing and being critical and judgmental of other people. But is that really the practical application of the love of God? No, absolutely not. So really, it's a trick of the devil, of the enemy, to get people so distracted and so wrapped up in all these other things that they're just spinning their wheels. See? Read that verse in Ephesians chapter 4. We can go back there. Boy, we have so many great things to be able to practice in our lives, you know? To work on, to develop, to explore. Life is a laboratory. And until you take your last breath, you'll be in the laboratory. Verse 26 says, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Amplified says, when angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath or your exasperation, your fury or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Don't give him any opportunity. You know that this passage is telling us that when we get angry, we should not let the sun go down on our anger, because if we do, we will open a door for the enemy. We will give him opportunities in our life. We will give him a foothold. And if we give him a foothold, he's going to turn that, the best he can, into a stronghold. The best way to keep the door closed to the enemy is to do exactly what we've been talking about right here. Walk in love. The best way to keep the door closed to the enemy is to walk in love. See? People who don't walk in love stay mad because people who walk in love don't stay mad long because they are quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. Amazing. Mark 11:25, Jesus tells us that when we pray, we are to forgive anybody we have anything against. If we don't do that in love, our faith won't work, because as Galatians 5:6 says, faith is activated, energized, expressed, and worked through love. How many people do you think are praying for what they think is a prayer of faith, but they have no love walk? What does that mean? I'm talking about treating people better. I'm talking about meeting needs. I'm talking about how we talk about each other and how we talk to each other. I'm talking about not being rude. I'm talking about simple little things, such as standing in front of a tape table at a Christian conference and not shoving yourself in front of a bunch of people because you are in a hurry to buy a series on love. Now get out of my way. I got to get to those tapes on love. That's just the way the flesh is. I want to get my tape so I can get my car out of the parking lot first because I'm in a hurry. Again, it's all about me. Me, me, me. You know what walking in love means to really practice and really put into application? Being a blessing to someone else. It's not all about you. It's being a blessing to someone else, allowing the Spirit of God to work within your life so that you can freely give. Remember Philippians talks about, you know, that you would put the thoughts and needs of someone else actually above your own? Wow, amazing. Literal translation of 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, God's love in us does not insist on in its own rights or in its own way, for it is not self-seeking. That is a nature and an attribute of the love of God in manifestation. It is not selfish. It is not self-seeking. Practice, 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 practice. We're in the laboratory of life here, folks. We got a lot of opportunity to put this stuff into application if we desire to. Oh, man, we could just go on and on and on. She said, goes on to say, God has shown me a lot about selfishness because I used to be a very selfish, self-centered person. Oh, I prayed. I used the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuked devils. But I wasn't getting anything other than just dog tired. I didn't understand what was wrong because I was doing everything I'd been told to do to get my prayers answered. You ever feel that way? I'm so tired, God. I'm so tired of all this. I'm doing everything I should, but nothing is happening. I don't understand what's wrong. Every Christian who's ever lived life has made that statement at one point in time or another. The reason nothing is happening may be that you are not doing the proper things. You are doing, but you are trying to do what only God can do. When Ken Petty shared in September, he gave a great definition of humility. And this is it. Allow God to do what only God can do and stay out of the way. Don't try to be something you're not. Let God be God. See? Let Him work. Let Him do some things. Practice, 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 practice. We're not talking about something that's not attainable. You can start this very second. Beginning to walk in love. Beginning to respond with the love of God. Beginning to operate in forgiveness. So that eventually it becomes a habit. The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they are too strong to be broken. A great habit to build is one of walking with God, walking in love, and offering forgiveness in every given situation. Really something. And that's the sort of things that we can really put into practical application right this second. The moment you walk out that door, you will be faced with a challenge to do exactly what I'm talking about. Every moment of every day is an opportunity to practice in the laboratory of life, and sometimes just in the laboratory of your own mind. See? I'd be hard-pressed to believe every one of us has a loving thought every moment of every day, all day long. See? So we have time. We have the opportunity. This can be done. Because it's not about me, 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 me. It's about God in Christ in me. It's about the Spirit of God energizing me, helping me, manifesting, working with me. See? To accomplish that which God really wants for me. So, practice, practice, practice. Okay? Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be together, and how good you are to us, Father. How have you so enabled us and helped us to be men and women of faith, men and women of love, Father. We have that love nature within us, and sometimes we just get in the way of letting it flow out of us. So forgive us for that, Father. Forgive us where we've stumbled. Forgive us where we've gone astray. And help us to be everything that we need to be in this world, Father, and that we've got a lifetime to live to really test out and try and practice these things that you've given to us. And we can really approach it with a very positive attitude. And thank you, Lord, for just working with us human beings down here and helping us to understand more about you and your ways, and just so many of the simple blessings that we receive, Father. If nothing else, it's just a moment in glory to even be able to speak in one tongue and to know anything about your word, Father. And yet here we sit praying to ask even more of you, Father, that you would lead and direct and help and guide our steps, so we can become more living examples of the Word and live like our Lord Jesus Christ and really bring love and healing and hope and health and forgiveness to a world that is so desperate. So thank you for working with us, Father, helping us to just live our days with great praise on our lips. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name today. Amen. Okay? God bless you guys.